Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, Tinky and Tierney? Ready to go on this Monday around the country. Hope everybody's doing well. Coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. All good. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney. Teak, what up, bud? How you doing today?
Oh, it is fantastic, BT. The only thing bad that happened this week is is COVID reared its head. Not for me or anyone in my family. Everybody's safe. But I was told you I was supposed to go to AJ's first baseball game.
You told me.
It got COVIDed out, man. I was so disappointed. Disappointed for him, too, because he didn't get to play baseball, as you remember a couple years ago. Tore his labrum, and he basically shut it down for 2 years. And he was going to play just his senior season. And I was going to go to his first game. I haven't seen him play baseball in years.
Years.
And so it got COVIDed out. So they're playing today. Okay. Obviously, I can't get up there.
Watch, today they'll get rained out.
I know, right? There's got to be something. I hope so. Then maybe I can make it.
That's true. Now, how many games scheduled do they have? How do they piece this together out there?
16 games, right. I think it was. I was looking at the schedule the other day.
Not bad.
When else I could make it up there, because obviously this past weekend would have been ideal.
Yeah.
But I think it's like 16 or so.
Okay. Now, by the way, for those of you who have been with us for a while, you know, Teak used to talk baseball with AJ all the time when he was a little guy. I remember we were doing a show. We were streaming his game from Cooperstown.
That's right.
He had a base hit to right field, and he was a good baseball player. And that that video in – was that the state championship at that level or just a playoff game?
Yes, no, it was the state championship his sophomore year at Greenwich High School.
Yep, he made it – well, he made a couple of touchdowns. He made great plays. There was one, it was a lateral, like a wide receiver or a screen that he went up, and he made a baseball play, and we were talking – and then he threw a touchdown as a receiver. And we were talking about this on the air. And, you know, I wondered, since you told me the other day that he's playing high school ball, is there a chance that he tries to mess around and play a little baseball at Princeton?
That's
I mean, is he getting back into it mentally?
That's a good question. Now, see, what happens, though, and you know this, BT, because you played, if you take 2 years off and you don't swing a bat, like, you just – not that you forget, because you obviously know how to do it.
Yep.
It's just harder to make solid contact consistently.
For sure.
So when I talked to him on Saturday – or Friday, actually, before the weekend – I was like, how's the hitting coming? He's like, yeah, you know, I'm making some solid contact here and there, but it's just not as consistent as it used to be.
Gotcha. And by the way, when you don't play, it's one thing if you don't play when you're 7 or 8 or you take off a year. I mean, I wouldn't advise that either.
Yeah.
If you want to, you know, really make it or be as good as you can be. Not make it. Be as good as you can possibly be. You know, I would say stick with it, as every parent would. But when you sit out basically ages 15 and 16 or 16 and 17 when kids start messing around with curves and change-ups and you come back and there's some new variety in the repertoire, it's got to be a little tougher. So that's tough. We had a good weekend. We had a great weekend. I sent Teak some video. We had our first flag game. It's awesome. It's
kids
awesome being
jets,
out there.
Man. Colt's got jets, man.
He can move a little bit. He can move. He scored a couple of touchdowns. The play that I was most proud of was, and this is definitely one of the ones I sent you, Teak. He's on the right side Imagine the right side of the screen and the play goes, it's all running. They're just 6 years old, kindergarten kids. And there's a play all the way to the right, so it's really his left, right? So this kid's got about a 20-yard head start. I mean, he's on the opposite end of the field, and he just trucks, and he chases him down, and he snatches the flag at the two. Didn't let him score. Dude, I got so pumped. I can't tell you.
Dude, that's a hustle play, man.
It was.
It's all about hustle. It's all about – I'll let AJ know that Uncle B is asking if he's going to play at Princeton. Maybe it'll spark something in his
brain. Absolutely. Please, plant that seed, buddy. Plant that seed. We'll get to the Masters later, obviously. Congrats to Hideki Matsuyama, who's been a really good player for a really long time. A lot of game. He won the amateur there about 10 years ago. So he's got a nice little memory bank of the track. And I thought he collapsed on 15 when he ricocheted off the green and went in the rinse. And then, we'll do this later. But I don't know what Schauffele was. Xander Schauffele was a very good player.
Yeah.
How in the world do you not know what kind of shot is required on 16?
We'll talk about it. But I think Mother Nature hurt him. Just like I think Mother Nature helped Hideki Matsuyama.
Interesting. We'll get to that. David Duval's going to join us coming up in hour number two as well. All right. NBA Teague. So I want to play something for you here. And then we'll get into Kyrie Irving. We'll get into a larger issue the NBA is facing. Not everybody thinks it's a huge issue. I do. But I want to play this from the commissioner. All right. And I listened to this again. And I played it two or three times in my office before the show. And I turned the lights off and I just listened. And I really let it marinate. And I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. And then I walked away the third or the fourth time the same way I felt after the first time. And that is, this is wildly inconsistent and basically an erroneous recount by the commission. Listen to this and I'll tell you what I mean after that.
There's a direct correlation between fatigue and injury on the part of the players. And as you pointed out, what happened this past season was the resting of multiple starters on the same night. Resting in itself is not a new issue in this league. I mean, part of the difficulty in making the comparisons from our historical seasons is that we didn't used to have a category called DNP, do not play resting. It's only 3 years old on the stat sheet. But when you look back at the actual number of games, just taking all-stars as a sample of players over 30 years, our all-stars are playing just about the same number of games, played just about the same number of games this past season than they did 30 years ago.
It's incorrect, and it's wildly incorrect, and let me tell you why. 30 years ago, I went back, I looked it up, because as he's saying this, it does. I know that it's not...
Yeah,
it's not
doesn't sound
with,
right.
It's not meshing with what I've watched for the last 40 years, all right? 37, 38 years. I've been watching the NBA forever. As he's saying this, I'm like, that's not accurate. But let me just go and connect the dots. You're doing a national show. You want to be accurate. 30 years ago, all right? The East starting five for the All-Star game. Michael Jordan played 82 games. Patrick Ewing played 81. Isaiah had wrist surgery, which is why he played 48, but he had surgery. Bird played 75, Barkley played 79. That's the East starting five. The West, Hakeem played all 82, Magic played 79, James Worthy played 80, Stockton, wow, he's lazy, he played 78, and AC Green, you should never be starting any All-Star game, to be honest with you, even though he's a good rebounder and whatever, he started all 82 games. So when the commissioner tells, I'm not saying that there's no truth, especially the beginning part about how there's a correlation where, you know, where fatigue could lead to injury. I get all that. And these guys are making so much money.
Yeah.
It's about the chase for the chip. I get you don't need to play all 82 games, but don't lie to us. Don't say that it's the same, because it's not the same as it was 30 years ago.
The problem,
not even close.
The problem for me is less about the 30 years ago. That's what he just said sounds directly in contradiction to what he said two or three years ago when they were talking about resting players. You remember this conversation? And teams are going to be fined if they rest their guys without a viable excuse. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll give him some leeway here, because the mental health side of this has become in vogue, has become more talked about amongst professional athletes and professional sports leagues and professional sports unions. Yep. And so I'll give them a little bit of a leeway there. But I remember distinctly talking about, wow, he's not playing. He's taking a maintenance day. Remember the maintenance day outrage that we had a couple years ago?
The Spurs.
Like, it's a maintenance day. Yeah. And the Spurs were going to get fined for having their stars rest for a day. Not even, like, multiple days, as we've seen over the course of this season from some players on some teams, which we'll get to in a second. But just a day, because it's a primetime game and a major network, and nobody wants to see the star sitting on the bench when they're playing against other, you know, important teams or important games throughout the season.
Yep.
This year, I mean, we just saw it this past weekend, the Nets and the Lakers, nobody played. Now, part of it's injury, mm-hmm. and obviously KD is maintenance. But, I mean, it just feels like they flipped their tone a 180 in about a 2 or 3 year time frame.
Well, they have. And that's why I think Adam Silver has done some really good things, but I really strongly mm-hmm. do not believe that he's got the necessary presence to be the leader that is sometimes required. I feel like to have long-term sustainability, I feel like too often, you know, he's acquiescing or he's altering his position like we are here.
Yep.
Like it's great to be fluid. Don't get me, you don't want to be, you know, so inflexible that something good could come across your desk and you're just married to one concept that you fail to incorporate it. That's stupidity. That's the exact opposite end of leadership. Leadership should incorporate new data, new thoughts, new theories. Absolutely.
Why do you think it's hurting the NBA?
I think it's hurting the NBA because you flip on a game, you have no idea who the hell's playing that night. And now we got to get to Kyrie Irving. I don't even know how to talk about this anymore because, you know, if you go too deeply on Kyrie Irving, which I have in the past, you get the kickback about mental health, which mm-hmm. is a real issue.
Of course.
I don't know the depth of his. I wish him the absolute best. I truly do. I mean that. But I hate to talk about sports. And every couple of weeks, the guy says, I'm not playing. I'm not feeling right. I need a day off. My mind's not right. And you know what? That's not acceptable. Not acceptable.
Well, it is.
It's not acceptable for fans. Now, the league might accept it. Mm-hmm. And the Nets certainly accept the Teak because he's getting every penny of that $40-something million contract. He's not saying, you know what? I need a little time off. Let me give you back some of the money that I'm not going to earn. And I wouldn't expect him to do that either. But at some point, and I'm not trying to sound overly callous or insensitive or Neanderthal. I get there are real issues in this world that far supersede basketball. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I get that. But the guy's job description, literal job description, is to play for the Brooklyn Nets. And yeah. Too often, he don't think playing.
Yeah, no, I remember this conversation when he first took that mental, we didn't even know it was a mental health day. It was just personal days where he disappeared for 2 weeks or so. And, you know, at the time, and I probably still feel this way, BT, I was reticent to attack him or go after him for not fulfilling his obligation to play for the Nets. I felt hamstrung by the fact that I had no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not a problem. It's just the reality is that I still don't know what's going on with Kyrie Irving. And maybe at some point it comes out, maybe it doesn't. But I sit and as a fan and, you know, watching a game over the weekend or actually today, it'll be today, the game today.
It's going to be postponed. They're not playing that game tonight in Minnesota. There's zero chance they're playing that game.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're probably
right. Not playing.
You're absolutely
and they
right.
shouldn't.
But if they did, he wouldn't be there. Right. And
no.
so you were I keep asking myself, what could possibly be going on? I'm just now very curious why he's taking, you know, multiple personal days. And it's random. It's like every 2 weeks, I'm going to take a day off.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it could be something very serious. And I would feel bad if I made a judgment and it was something really serious. But at this point, I got to wonder, like, if the Nets even know. I'm sure they do. But
yeah.
How come nobody said anything about it? Like, this is okay for Kyrie to do this. I know they're letting him do it, but
yep.
It just, I don't know. It feels off to me, and it's not frustrating because they're going to be great when they come back. At least I hope they are. At least mm-hmm. I think they will be. But I have no idea why Kyrie is getting these excused absences and why aren't other guys doing it. And if they do, then the league really has a problem.
Well, but the Nets are fully culpable here as well. Now, I understand that it's first of all, Kyrie Irving as brilliant as he is a very mercurial type of personality.
Of course.
You know,
it's
so,
always been that way.
No question. So if it's my team, I want to make sure there's harmony within, and I want to make sure I'm not going to be disingenuous here. If it's my squad and I'm trying to win a championship, I know that I've got a massage, and on some level, I hate to use this word, but this is just understanding where pro sports is at this point, to placate Kyrie Irving on some mm-hmm. level. All right, as long as it's not to the ultimate detriment of the team, then I've got to stop that. But if it's a massaging of ego or acquiescing to a couple of while I don't think I would handle it the way the Nets have, because they haven't really said anything,
no.
And there's no rhyme or reason to it, I understand that they've got to do what they got to do for the Nets. I understand that. But, you know, the problem is, you know, it's almost like, it's almost as if these are popping up and they are like predetermined pop-ups. Of absences. It's not like...
Yeah, so it's like it's scheduled. It's a scheduled...
It almost feels that way, doesn't it?
Personal day. And here's the interesting thing. When we saw this with, let's say, Kawhi Leonard, and we knew he had an injury, and he was taking these pre... This is what the Toronto Raptors... These pre-scheduled maintenance days, as we called them. These maintenance days where he wasn't going to play back-to-backs. He wasn't going to extra exert his body because we knew that he had this quad issue.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of accepted it because you understood what the reasoning was. Now, you didn't like it because obviously if you're the NBA or an opposing team, you want to see Kawhi.
For sure.
Or really, not really an opposing team, but you know what I mean, a fan base.
The opposing fans do.
Yeah, like you want to see the stars of the NBA. And so, but you understood why he was getting those maintenance days. I think the issue with Kyrie is we don't understand why he's getting these personal days consistently.
No idea.
Every couple of weeks.
No.
He's taking one or two or three. And I mean, sometimes they win anyway. So from a personal, like, team standpoint, it doesn't really matter. But
it does matter because James Harden's hurt. His hamstring's barking.
It hurts now. It hurts right now.
You got to ease Durant in. I mean, if there's ever a time to be present every game, unless truly he is dealing with something that is overriding his emotions, where he quite literally cannot do his job,
mm-hmm.
then that's a place for medical intervention. And yeah. I respect that. I get it. And then if that's the case, that's what needs to be done. But if it's not quite to that extent, and I have no way of knowing, because again, the Nets don't say anything, neither does Kyrie. And again, what's personal is personal. I'm not trying to pry that deeply, but you need to have a sense from a consumer point of view that things are authentic. And when Kyrie, and I read this now, when Kyrie Irving says, you know, all right, during the time away from the team, he broke the league's coronavirus health and safety protocols, which further delayed his return to the game. Irving was fined for not following the league's COVID-19 rules. When he did come back to the team, he told reporters, quote, that he just needed a break. That's not good enough for fans.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And that
when
was
you're
at
making
the,
$40 million a year, that's not good enough.
And that was at the beginning of the season, right? That's what we're
that
talking
was,
about.
That was with the, I believe that was when he was seen photographed at his dad's and sister's birthday party.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the first step away, correct.
That's right. That's
then there was another little respite, and now another one.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, listen, imagine slapping down $400 to go see, I don't know, you love Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars. You show up there, Bruno Mars. Stop, but you know what? The guy who's playing the saxophone is going to be showing up tonight. Isn't it worth it, $400? No.
Yeah.
I'm here to see Bruno Mars. Here to see Mick Jagger. I'm here to see, and there's actually still touring. I'm here to see whomever I'm paying to see. Again, you know, the old days of playing 82 games. No, again, you've got to recalibrate that. We have modern medicine. We have data that has informed us that too much is too much. And when mm-hmm. that threshold breaks, boom, you've got injuries. And these players are highly valued commodities. You've got to do whatever it takes, preventative measures, to avoid that happening. That's why if a guy's knee is barking, sit down.
Yeah.
But this nonsense of not telling fans why you're not even showing up, it's not right.
Yeah.
It's not right.
And I don't know if it's there yet because it's only Kyrie, and Nets fans feel this, and I guess the opponents of Nets fans feel this. But if it becomes more mainstream around the NBA, that's when Adam Silver really has to change what he's saying about these days off that these guys are getting.
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's get into this more specifically coming up next about the commissioner directly. You talk about We talk about messaging all the time. You know, if you make a mistake, do you apologize properly? Do you show real true contrition? Like, these public exchanges are paramount. You got to say something just to kind of, you know, steady the ship a little bit here. Is it time for Adam Silver to really, you know, radically change, you know, not only how he views things, but maybe more directly what he tells us about what's acceptable and what's not? Is he too soft for that? I'm going to ask the question. Is the commissioner of the NBA too soft to take the kind of stand that might be necessary? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Monday, getting the week off the right way. Masters coming up, hour number two. Hideki Matsuyama, world-class player. He's got the jacket now to prove it. We knew that before the jacket. We knew he was there. But, you know, that validation is what it is. It's everything. So David Duval is going to help us get into the Masters, which, I mean, to be honest, he was so steady outside of that one miscalculation or wind-blown shot on 15. Really, it was kind of boring.
Yeah, no, we didn't make any, I mean, other than some of the mistakes, you almost kind of wanted it to get a little bit tighter, which
yes,
you kind of did for a minute until Shoffley, as we just mentioned at the top of the show, made an egregious error. Ugh. But it wasn't all his fault, even though he'll talk about it a little bit. But I wanted it to get tight, and Zalatoris was close, and
yes,
he kind of just faded. He just, like, forgot how to putt for a little bit there.
But he's got some game, that kid.
He does got some game.
It
was fun, but it was a little bit boring. It was no signature moment.
So. Nah, there wasn't. There wasn't really. By the way, the kid Zalatoris from Wake Forest, the young kid, looks like the caddy from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
he really looks like him.
Yeah, he has it on his putter too.
He looks like him.
Yeah, he's using the people making fun of him, like, to his advantage, which is kind of cool.
His attitude was great. He's like, he was asked before the round after the round Saturday by Amanda on CBS, are you nervous? And he's like, I've dreamt my whole life of being here. Why would I be nervous? I'm going to let it rip, whatever. Just a really good attitude that probably portends a slow heartbeat down the road during important moments. So wouldn't be surprised if he's raising a couple of the trophies or a jacket at some point down the road. But we'll do that more thoroughly hour two. Back to the NBA. Teague, let me ask you this just as an open-ended question before we get to back to Adam Silver and what's going on now. And I want to play another cut from him as well. Where do you think right now, and you can go in the middle, you could take a specific fan base, age, like in totality, how do you view the way the NBA product is viewed by its consumers now?
Yeah, so I'll speak from how I view and how I think other people are watching it now. You know that it's hard for me to watch regular season NBA because it feels like there's not a lot going on until the last 10 minutes of the game when things start to get tight. And if it's not a close game at that point, it's hard to flip it on and watch a blowout, you know, to the end. And so I think a lot of people feel that way. If you're a non-fan of a specific team, like, you'll sit and watch your team.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about on Wednesday night.
I got you.
XYZ.
Yeah.
Nuggets versus whoever. Jazz.
Now, by the way, Tigra, are you counting the marquee games on TNT as well?
Not necessarily.
You're not talking like Bucks Celtics.
No,
or,
I'm talking about just a game that you pop on.
Gotcha.
Not like the marquee media, big media markets that have the superstars on them. Just a game.
Okay.
And you're kind of like, who's that guy?
I got you.
Yeah, this team is jacking up three-pointers and none of them are going down. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to gain attention span unless there are stars playing, which is why this Kyrie conversation is so, I think, relevant to the NBA product as a whole. I also think, and we had this conversation back and forth on our Slack channel, and I think Samter was right about this, that the younger viewer consumes the NBA differently. It's not necessarily, I got to sit and watch the entirety two and a half hours of this game. I just want to see the cool things that happen, like the highlights. I need to watch it in snippets. And so you find them consuming it via social media and other, you know, distribution platforms that they can get on their phone or on their iPads or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not necessarily sitting down and watching games, nor would they actually go to a game unless they were uber fan of the team that was playing. So I think the dynamic has shifted a little bit in how the NBA is being consumed.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, that conversation we were just having in the first segment, BT, is so important about the stars being the conduits to this new generation of fans, right? And if they're not consistent and they're not playing Kyrie, right, then it becomes a little bit harder to connect with them.
Teague, now there's a lot there. Let me pull one or two things out that I find most interesting, although everything you said was interesting, but two things jump out to me. Number one, every generation has players that, as we look back, are directly responsible for something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Magic and Bird are always linked for, you know, it was a drug-riddled league, yeah. And the NBA Finals were on tape delay, blah, blah, blah. We've had that conversation a million times.
Yeah, made rivalry important.
Boom, brought back rivalry, East Coast, West Coast, white, black. It was perfect. It was out of casting 101, right? then you get to the Jordan era, and you get the sneaker revolution. You get, in addition to being the greatest of all time, and all the championships and the records, but now the bags, the shorts are baggy. The style has now permeated mainstream society, right? And then you get to Kobe, who took the baton from Michael seamlessly. He had some incidents early. From a basketball point of view, seamlessly, right? And we love Kobe.
Yeah.
And then LeBron took it from Kobe, all right? Now, and LeBron brought a lot of things. He brought player movement. He, too, brought style and fashion for sure. Mm-hmm. He's one of the superstars who plays every night when he's healthy. He's not looking to bag it out and just take a night off. My fear is when LeBron retires, right? Now, maybe Zion's next in line. Might be. We'll get to him later. Van Gundy's saying maybe he plays more point. Hmm. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe Zion is the answer, right? Maybe. Maybe one of these kids coming to the NBA next year. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, whomever. Mobley from US. I don't know. Maybe it's one of them. Don't know. What I do know, I am fearful that for the first time since Jordan retired and LeBron surfaced, there was a pretty lengthy gap where we were all trying to anoint, who's the leader of the league? It can't be Iverson because he doesn't even want to practice. But, man, his game is sick. Yeah. And we love the way he looks and competes. And, well, maybe it's McGrady, but he's hurt. And maybe it's Penny, but Penny's hurt. Like, telling you, going through this in real time, there was an absence of star power.
Yeah.
Undeniable, that's the guy. And if that goes away when LeBron retires, I don't know that the NBA recovers the way many people think it will because of the way it's consumed, because of the way the older fans getting turned off right now. I think the league's got to be very, very careful.
Well, it's an interesting point, and I haven't even thought about it like that, but I do remember when that was happening. Like, you go from Magic to Jordan, Magic Bird to Jordan, and you go from Jordan to it's Kobe, and then Kobe, it's LeBron. But it's always been, like, there's... Let's call it a North Star. There's always been a North Star in the NBA. Like the icon, he's developing his iconic stature. Mm-hmm. He's beyond, just a regular player. Maybe he has a championship, maybe he doesn't, but usually he has a championship. He's clear heads and heels above the best player in the game.
Yeah.
And it's not, you're not really debating. In fact, the only thing you're debating is where does he fit in the hierarchy of the history of the game. And uh-huh. Right. That's like LeBron we're talking about with Jordan, and Kobe even for a while was talked about in that conversation with Jordan, Magic, and all the greats. And when you look forward to your point, when LeBron retires, when it's said and done for LeBron, let's call it 4 years, who's taking the baton, the proverbial baton? Who's taking it for the NBA and is the beyond reproach best player in the league? I mean, it could be Zion, but I don't know if I trust him being healthy. It's not going to be Kyrie. No. Maybe it's KD.
No, he's going to be too old at that point. Not going to be KD.
Not going to
be Steph, too old.
I think you're right. Steph is going to be too old. Like, who is it?
Is it Devin Booker? I don't know.
And so I think...
Is it Doncic? Probably Doncic.
Yeah, but he's not American.
You wanted American superstars, no doubt.
Yeah,
you love the globalization of the game.
Yes,
but you need absolutely. An American superstar.
There's no doubt about it. And so I wonder who that person is.
Don't know.
Because usually you start to see it, right? You start to see it just a little bit before the current one ebbs out. And maybe the NBA has just been lucky in that it's happened that way. But there could be another little bit of a drought if someone doesn't step to the forefront.
And yeah, yeah.
It's interesting because that person gets you excited to talk about and debate NBA. Because like LeBron gets you excited to talk about and debate NBA.
Love it.
Simply because you want to compare him across the ages. He's our guy of this age, and we want to compare him across the ages. I don't know who the next generations is.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, all the conversations that just you and I have had about LeBron's place. Is it the GOAT? Is it, you know, you know where everybody knows where you and I stand. But, you know, back to that void as MJ kind of weathered out and Kobe wasn't quite that guy yet. Mm-hmm. And before LeBron, that little window, nobody was on the radio talking about. And again, Iverson was a beast to watch. But nobody's up here sitting saying, you know, Iverson's a Allen Iverson's a top 10 player. T-Mac's a top. Vince Carter, one of the greatest players of great, terrific players. But definitely not that transcendent, you know, rarefied list of all-timers. They just weren't on that list. I mean, hell, Iverson's not even the best point guard. Yeah. I mean, that's Magic, and then that's Isaiah, even though he was more of a scoring guard, whatever. So, you know, this is going to be really interesting because you watch the game on a nightly basis, and however you consume it, that's almost immaterial for a moment. But there's an aversion to defense. We know this.
Yes.
There's an aversion. There's really sloppy shot selection, and now there's, you know, the variable, is Superstar X going to even play?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a great basis foundation for the league.
No, it's just not. And the ratings are showing it. Now, obviously, the ratings have some skew to them because of the year that we've all had.
No question.
And everything else involved around that, economy and otherwise. But I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to find myself, like, listening to sports media talk about anything other than the four or five guys that we talk about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's mm-hmm. when's Kyrie and KD? When are they going to be together? And James Harden? So the super teams.
Yeah.
What about the Lakers and AD? These guys aren't even playing. We talk about them more than, you know,
the guys who are playing.
Exactly.
Playing. I hear you.
Right. The Heat or whoever it may be. We talk about it more. The Suns. You mean we got to, like, force them into the show, right? And so I worry for the NBA. In that it got so top heavy with the superstars and the other ones haven't really grabbed us yet. Now, maybe they will, but I think a championship is required of that. At least the, not necessarily a championship, but the belief that they can win a championship. Very early in his career, LeBron James was interesting and compelling because he was just meteoric in his talent and he was felt different. And you could tell at some point this guy is winning a championship. You just knew it.
Usually had that sense,
right?
You know, yeah.
Who is that guy right now? That's one of the young players in the NBA. I don't feel it yet.
Yeah, I still think it's going to be Doncic, but I hear you. It could be Booker. I get it. Listen, and by the way, it's not a good thing for all these young guys to see the guys that they looked up to, you know, taking days off, personal days, like what they're going to think pretty soon they've got the license to do that. And then it just fully infiltrates the league.
Yeah.
Like, you do what you think you're allowed to do.
Yeah, it's true.
It's the psychology of being a parent. If you let your kid do whatever they want, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. As much as we get on like Russell Westbrook for not being able to really get to that next level, that championship level, or James Harden for the same thing. Mm. Those dudes, they play every day.
They play every day.
And they want to play every day, and they want to play 40 minutes every day if they were allowed to.
Undeniable. All right, Teek, let's get into inbounds, out of bounds. We'll get to that after Axe update. The Browns are on the menu. A lot of talent. So then why aren't the Browns better at football? We'll make sense of that after Axe update next. Here's all right, Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a moment. First, though, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty easy drill. Drop us a tweet and just send it over to Twitter handle at CBS Sports Radio. That's at CBS Sports Radio. Hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teek and I will take the best one, answer it for you on the air, and give you some props as well. So send them in and challenge us. Make us think. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I would imagine many of you have already weighed in. So if you want to drop us a line about what you thought about the Kyrie Irving NBA conversation, Adam Silver's role as commissioner, direction of the league, we'd love to get your thoughts, whether you agree, disagree, whatever. Just let it rip. Bring it to Twitter, at Teek and Tierney. We'll get to those. We'll get to the Masters win a little bit later. Next hour, Dave Duval is going to stop by. Right now, though, inbounds, out of bounds. Teek, you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, the Browns finally met some hype, and they ended their 17-year playoff drought, going 11-5, and they fell to the Chiefs in a tight, well-played playoff game. However, despite talent everywhere on defense, a lot of names, Cleveland finished 17th in yards allowed and 21st in points allowed, so not very good. Now reports say the team's bringing former number one overall pick Jadeveon Clowney, who's going to have 9 teams on his resume by the time it's all said and done, in for a second meeting and is expected to sign him. All right. So, Teek, assuming Clowney finalizes the deal, the Browns are the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC coming up this season in a round.
I got to say out of bounds, PT. I like what the Browns are trying to do, getting Jadeveon Clowney. But I think it's the Buffalo Bills, because I have to point towards the quarterback. And I like Baker Mayfield. I think he's gritty. I think he's actually kind of perfect for what Cleveland is doing and for the city of Cleveland, to be honest with you. But I like Josh Allen a little bit more, actually a lot more.
Yes.
Given the talent that they have. Remember, 2 all-pro wide receivers on that squad, Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs. Their run game is good. Their defense is getting better. And they got a secondary that can keep up, at least for the most part, with Kansas City. So I'm going to say it's the Bills. So out of bounds in this one.
I agree. And my answer, like you, is the Bills. You know, talk about corners that can hang. Tre'Davious White's one of the top three corners in football. We know that. Josh Allen is just simply better than Baker Mayfield, period. And I like Baker. Josh is a stud. You know, and you can even say that they're a year deeper into their mm-hmm. winning culture. The Bills did play a playoff game, not just this year, obviously, but even the year before they lost. I believe that was the Texans game, right? Yep. They had the lead, yep. And they coughed through it. Josh actually put one on the turf, but they've been a program now that expects to go to the playoffs, and now the expectation deepens that they had a little success this past year. Easily could have lost that first game, as we know, but you know, they got a win under their belt, and now they kind of know what it's like to swim with the big dogs. And I love Buffalo. They've retained players they've needed to retain. I like a lot about the Browns, but I just like the Bills better. Totally agree.
Are you in or are you out?
This was interesting. Last night, Denver led the Celtics by 5 going into the fourth quarter, but Boston dominated the final frame 31-8. That's like a CYO score as they walked away from Denver with an 18-point dub. So MVP favorite, the Joker, Nikola Jokic, failed to get back on defense a couple times while he complained to refs. That's a bad look. And was later seen pouting on the bench while his teammates huddled. That's a worse look. After the game, head coach Mike Malone called out a star.
Regarding Nikola, you know, he gets frustrated with the referees and what he perceives to be a lack of calls. And you understand that. But, you know, that can never take you away from your duty as a basketball player. So that's something that he, myself, and all of us can definitely be better at.
Okay. Well handled, by the way. You didn't didn't blindly kiss his behind. You let him know, not acceptable, not what we're about here in Denver, but you didn't destroy him. There's no train marks over his back. Smart move. Well handled by a good coach. In or out, Jokic's behavior does concern you as a leader come playoff time. In or
out? I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, mainly because we have maybe in spurts with the complaining to the referees, but we don't see this lack of consistency on the efforts on both ends very often. This is an isolated incident. Maybe he was just extra frustrated in this game and let it get the best of him. And I think Mike Malone handled this the perfect way, because he stated it, but he didn't blast him, so to speak. So I'm going to say out of bounds. This does not concern me.
Yeah, I agree. Although I do think it's worth monitoring the way his players kind of reacted when he was pouting, you know, just kind of the vibe, the looks. You hope that doesn't fester. I don't think it will. I think I know they're well coached. He seems to be a self-motivated superstar. Murray's a tough kid. They got some ballers on that team. They've been together for a couple of years. So these things happen. As long as he kind of mans up and says, my bad, not going to happen again, I don't think there's an issue. If there's a little, you know, a rip at the seam now and it's not addressed, then that can fester. But I agree, in totality, shouldn't be a big deal.
Are you in or are you out?
Zion having a big-time breakout second year. He's putting up 27.7 boards while leading the NBA. He's got a PER 28, over 28, actually.
Wow.
Over his last 7, the former Blue Devils putting up 33 and even dishing out 5 assists a game. So after their win over Philly on Friday, Coach Stan Van Gundy implied Zion could see a little more time running the show at the point guard spot.
Yeah, it was impressive. You know, it was impressive. So we'll see more of it. And we want to get him more experience at that stuff going forward, because I think that's where his future is in this game. I really do. And, you know, he just needs reps and more and more. And we've increased it throughout the year, giving him more and more opportunities. And we'd like to give him more going forward.
All right. Interesting. In or out, we do like the idea of Zion running the point a little more.
Only because the Pelicans aren't a threat yet. I'm going to say inbounds. If this team was, I don't know, say like a 5 seed, and they were experimenting with Zion playing the point, I'd say, hell no, don't even think about that. What's your problem? But because they're still developing, and Zion does need to expand his game. We've talked about this a lot, BT, how at some point that athleticism falters, maybe not fails, but just it comes back towards to earth a little bit.
Yep.
He's going to need a different type of skill in order to be a viable star in this league. So I'm going to say inbounds to this. I don't mind this.
I really like it. I think it's very smart. And by the way, Tig, I'll disagree with you here. Even if they were a 5 seed, even if they were a 3 seed at this point, you know, the greater emphasis for me, not to the detriment of the team, obviously, but the greatest emphasis must be the development of your young franchise-altering superstar.
Yeah.
And if that means you lose a tough game, but, you know, you win the war down the road, and maybe you kind of slip up in a battle, then that's what you do. I love it. If you remember, before he was drafted, I compare him to LeBron James in a couple of aspects. Obviously, his strength, but I remember pointing out two things. How low his handle, like his dribble, how low it is to the floor, and how tight it is in certain spots, number one. Number two, remember saying when he was at Duke, this kid sees the floor well. He's got a penchant for hitting the open man and in tough spaces. He's a good passer, and he's got a pretty tight handle. He's not going to become John Stockton, obviously, but the more he can initiate the offense in the first quarter of whatever game it might be, the better equipped he'll be to take the ball with 7 seconds to go on the road in a playoff game in 3 years from now or 2 years and initiate for himself and make the bucket and get the win, or initiate, draw the defense, kick to somebody for the winning basket. This is all part of the process. It's like a kid, you know, it's changed a little bit in baseball, but the old adage was you want to get at least 1,500 at-bats before you see the show, encompassing all the various levels, you know, A ball, double A, little sniff of triple A. And to me, this is him just getting at bats at the various levels of baseball. This is very smart. I like it.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Now, here's the other thing, too, it does. Even if you have a 6'5" opposing point guard, there's no point guards that are built like that.
No, you're right.
So you're going to have to now alter how you play defense, which now creates another avenue for you to exploit, because you got to put somebody thicker, somebody that can theoretically hang with Zion at the top of the key as he's setting up the offense, as that bigger, stronger, more stout body moves away from the... I'm not saying it's going to be a center, but it's somebody that's a little sturdier than a conventional point guard. He moves away from the rim. There's some more soft spots inside to attack.
You're right.
It's so important.
Look, all sports are copycat leagues, right? And this is what LeBron is bringing. You have these bigger, more power forward, or even maybe small forward, whatever position, 3 or 4 he's playing.
Yeah.
And if they have the handle to do it, you control and run the offense through them, because they're the initiators, and it often frees them up even more when they can move off the ball instead of being the point guard.
All right, good stuff here, Teague. So we saw history at the Masters, and it's amazing for Matsuyama. It's amazing for Japan, but usually history comes with theater. Wasn't much. What do we make of the Masters? We'll get to that coming up next. Second hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.